Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and these are my very favorite. These are the Thought Leader Radio episodes where we interview the best and the brightest doing the most interesting things. And Katie, this is going to be no exception. We got with us Alfredo Ortiz. He is the president of Jobs Creators Network. Welcome, Alfredo.
Lee, thank you very much, but I must be calling to the wrong show because you said the best and the brightest, so you must be confusing me with somebody else.
Well, you know, we'll see how this goes. We can edit that later in post. So tell us, Alfredo, tell us about Job Creators Network. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, well, Job Creators Network is just a fantastic organization. I've actually been doing this now for about 6 years, and I couldn't be more blessed and honored to be leading such a great organization. It was actually founded by a local hero here in Atlanta, Bernie Marcus, the founder of the Home Depot. I'm sure many of your listeners probably are aware of Bernie Marcus and the great achievements and accomplishments that he's achieved, and especially the wonderful things he's done in Georgia. But he is one of our greatest American success American dream success stories. Truly an entrepreneur at heart. He was actually fired at 48 years old and started the Home Depot here in Atlanta at 52 with just two stores, and today employs over 400,000 hardworking Americans. But what he remembered all too well, what it was like to be a small business owner, and he realized that there really wasn't a true megaphone in this country for these small business owners to help them fight the fight, because really between overregulation and overtaxation, and frankly, because of Dodd-Frank, there was a lack of access to capital and credit. It was just a real challenge to be a successful small business and entrepreneur in this country. And so that's why he started Job Creators Network, so that across the country and also at our state capitals and even locally, in some cases, we'd help the organization would help fight that fight for small business owners.
Now, when you say fight that fight, what is kind of what are you doing on a day-to-day basis? Is this it's a nonpartisan organization, right? This is not a political organization in that regard, right?
It is nonpartisan, but what I do tell people is we are unabashed supporters of the free enterprise system. And so if you believe in the free enterprise system and you believe in an environment that less regulation, less government, right, less red tape, lower taxes, and just an improved access to overall capital in this economy, if you believe in that, then you should be a member of Job Creators Network. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten as many Democrats on board with that philosophy, and I'm still trying. I'm still working, trying to get Democrats on board with that philosophy. But right now, you know, we are unabashed supporters of the free enterprise system.
Right. We say at Business Radio X, some media leans left, some media leans right. We lean business.
That's correct. We actually lop off a lot of the social issues, frankly, that just mires the discussion into all the stuff that frankly doesn't help move an economy forward. We just really fundamentally believe, again, on those three main principles, again, less regulation, less government, lower taxes.
Now, how does that kind of work for you and your group? Like, are you interested in having business owners be part of the group as a way to raise funds so that you can kind of have a voice in the government?
Absolutely. That's the one thing about this group. And then I think the incredible idea that Bernie had here, the vision, which is really let's create an organization that's for the members, by the members, right, that really helps give them just that megaphone. So we started actually, for example, 3 years ago, actually just a little bit, almost 4 years ago, we did a national poll among small business owners across the country. And we asked them, what's holding you back? Because I saw that when I was going out there, I would see just these small business owners, just the angst in their eyes and their faces and their voices about what they were facing in the environment under the previous administration. And so we did that poll, national poll among small business owners, and we found the three things that were holding them back was overregulation, overtaxation, and the lack of access to capital and credit. And so we started 3 years ago, actually, was the Bring Small Business Back bus tour. And we just started going around the country talking about, you know, why we need less red tape in this country, why we need lower taxes, and really the benefits that that would really have for small business owners across the country. And then last year, we actually teamed up with another local hero, Newt Gingrich, our former Speaker of the House, to really try to drive the tax cut move and the initiative that was kind of not doing too well. It was kind of limping along. Some of the leadership in D.C. was saying maybe we should really take that up not in 17, but in 2018. We completely disagreed. And so we really went out again, out on the streets in our bus, going across the country with small business owners, talking to small business owners, but more importantly, having those small business owners talk to their congressmen, because we would invite congressmen to these events and really just have them listen. It was actually quite a feat. If you can imagine this, politicians just sitting there and listening rather than talking. And it'd be the small business owners talking about all the different challenges. And it was really exciting to see that. And of course, as you know, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act did pass, and we were very excited to be part of that. And this year, Lee, what we're doing is we're actually going around the country now in a our third year of a bus tour. In fact, we have now have two buses going around across the country, talking about how taxes are working. The tax cuts are working for everybody. We call it the TaxCutsWork.com bus tour. We're very, very excited about it. We actually have two buses, like I mentioned, going across the country from, you know, every point you can imagine, from New York State to Washington State, down to California, down to Florida, and points in between. And we couldn't be more excited. We've got a lot of optimism from our small business owners. You can hear it in their voices. A lot of interaction with our small business owners, and of course, interaction with their officials as well.
Now, as part of our mission at Business Radio X is to tell the stories of the small to mid-sized business owner that tends to be ignored by traditional media. Are you finding that the level of optimism in small business is through the roof? Because that's what we're seeing here in our studios.
It really is. And that is the really, truly untold story. So I'm so thankful that you have a program like this to be able to get the word out. And that's what we're trying to do at TaxCutsWork.com, get that word out. Because optimism, especially amongst our small business owners, really is sky high. You compare that to where it was 4 years ago. People were literally depressed. I mean, people were ready to give up on their businesses because they couldn't handle another regulation. They couldn't handle more taxes. In some cases, some of our hardworking small business owners, and we're talking, you know, the dry cleaner, the pizza guys, that own a pizza franchise. But in many cases, 50 cents of every dollar was going back to the government. And that just wasn't right. And so with this tax cut, they're seeing a real boost to their business. And especially some of the elements of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, one in particular, which is the immediate expensing. This allows a lot of businesses to be able to go out and immediately buy that piece of equipment and expense it on their taxes that year. That's a huge, huge benefit that our small business owners are really leveraging, because it allows them to deduct right off their taxes that investment. And so, again, we couldn't be more excited about it. Our small business owners and members are extremely excited. But we do need more, want more. We want Tax Cut 2.0. To have permanency for our small business owners. And we'd love to see a little bit bigger deduction than what we currently have. But again, it was a massive step in the right direction.
Now, are you finding that young people are embracing small business and entrepreneurship at a greater level? Because there was a period of time where every time you'd watch a movie, the bad guy was the business, the greedy business owner who's exploiting resources and is taking advantage of people or manipulating something for his own greed. And I think that turned off a lot of young people to choose being an entrepreneur as a career path. Are you guys doing anything to help kind of inspire that next generation to help them consider being a small business? Because a small business owner, they're to us here, the heart of the country. I mean, they're the ones who create, like you guys know, that they're the ones that create the jobs. These mega companies get all the press and they get all the attention, but it's the like you said, the dry cleaner, the guy that's running or the woman that's running the business, you know, just with a couple of employees, they're the ones that are really drip by drip making a difference around the country.
Well, you bring up an excellent point. I mean, small business owners, Main Street USA really is the backbone of our country. 2/3 of new job growth is in the hands of small businesses. Small business owners are about 30 million small business owners across the country that employ almost 60 million people. I mean, imagine that. Hardworking Americans, almost 90 million in total, are dependent on the success of small business. And frankly, just a few years back ago, there was really no mention of small business. It was all just focused on the corporate. And look, we love successful corporations, because when you have successful larger corporations, guess what? That does ripple through the entire economy, and it ripples through small businesses that are dependent on the success of small of larger businesses as clients, in many cases as customers. And so, you know, to your point, it's just so important though to have success for these small business owners, because again, across the country, across every single state, they are actually one of the, you know, the largest employers, so to speak, in terms of the total number of folks employed within a state. And you're right, you know, you hear a lot of the news is on the corporate side, the larger corporate, you know, giants, but it really is these small businesses across, you know, Main Street America that really are driving, I think, you know, the economy. And in fact, I remember I did an interview at the end of 2017, just after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passed, and I told people, I said, you guys, forget about the S&P 500, forget about investing Dow Jones, look at the Russell 2000, invest there, and I will tell you that that's going to be a darn good investment, because the optimism that's going to hit small business owners and the reinvestment of the businesses, that's going to start driving our economy sky high. And we're seeing it with the GDP numbers. In fact, I think just yesterday or this morning, I'm losing track of my days, we just saw the GDP quarter number revised up from 4.1 to 4.2%.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the economy seems to be getting stronger and stronger. And I think that I don't think that the layperson appreciates how important the small business is to their community. I think they think that it's these mega companies that, you know, get the headlines that are doing the heavy lifting. And while they might have, you know, one company might hire 500 people or 1,000 people, it's the 1,000 small companies that are each hiring two or three people that are really making the difference.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, just going back to the statistic that I quickly talked about, if you think about 30 million small businesses roughly employing 60 million people, that's roughly just two people per business, right? So to your point, you're like, oh, that, how can that be important? But imagine if you could just get each one of those businesses to hire one more person because you have a great economy. Imagine that 30 million people overnight would need to be hired. We wouldn't have enough people to fill the jobs. We already don't have enough people to fill the jobs. And in fact, the latest numbers I just saw was 6.6 million unfilled jobs right now in the economy and only 6 million people to fill it. And so, again, the economy is great and small businesses are feeling optimistic again. And to me, that's one of the best things that's happened with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And frankly, the environment now that exists, that there's less regulations, which has just been a big boom. I mean, if you recall, the president had promised that he would remove two regulations for every one introduced. Well, that administration, the Trump administration, has actually delivered 10x of that. And they have basically now removed 20 regulations for everyone introduced. And that is a huge boom to the economy. Because again, some of the latest numbers that I saw under the previous administration, the regulations would cost our American businesses almost $1.6 trillion per year. And so when you start removing some of these regulations and you get, you make government get out of the way so that businesses can actually succeed, you have what you have today, which is a booming economy, lowest unemployment rates in history across every single demographic group, whether it's Black, Hispanic, White, Asian, women. I mean, it's amazing, right? There is just so much good in this economy. And the sad part, though, is that we're not even hearing this.
Well, that's the thing. The media is kind of doom and gloom, but the people in the rooms that we're doing these interviews are very optimistic. And it's like you mentioned, talent, finding the right talent is really their thing that's slowing them down the most. It isn't their optimism or what they believe to be so. It's just they need more bodies there to do the work.
Right, right. Well, and that's exactly right. And, you know, the skill set is one of the most important things that we do have to address. You know, I used to say that while there was a lot of focus on, you know, that there was a wage gap and stuff like that, and there was, I think, a need to get our wages up. And we're seeing some of the largest wage increases, by the way, in history now. Just recently, I think they just released that information this morning. So we're seeing that strong wage growth. But really, that skills gap is what we were most concerned about. And we started talking about that 3 years ago. We had another campaign that's been ongoing called the Fight for 50-50, because we believe that as important as people thought that the Fight for 15 was so that people get $15 minimum wage jobs, we believe that the only thing that you do there is you don't give people the actual skills that they need to really get out of these jobs. So I always would tell people, hey, newsflash, if you're, let's say, 25 and over, and out of possibly no fault out of your own, you're stuck in this job, you're flipping burgers, and you get an extra buck, a buck and a half, or even two, guess what? You're still flipping a burger. It's just, you're just getting two more dollars for it, right, per hour.
Right.
You've got to identify these people and get them out of those jobs and give them the right skill set. Like I said, there are 6.6 million unfilled jobs and only 6 million people to fill them. Trust me, we can get those folks those right skill sets. It will change their lives drastically.
Yeah, I think that an area that's being missed out on is that when you the unintended consequences of a higher minimum wage are that you don't have young people having opportunities that they might have had if there was no or low minimum wage for young people, because they don't know what it's like to work. They don't understand what a workday is and means and how to serve a customer. Because if an employer is going to choose between, if they have to spend $15 an hour, they'd rather take the older guy that's been around the block than risk that on a young person that may or may not be able to pull off the work. I mean,
yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. And Lee, I apologize because I went a little bit on a tangent. You had asked the question about what are we doing for millennials and, you know, the youth basically of today when it comes to entrepreneurship. Part is we're trying to educate them. We're trying to educate them on how government policies actually do impact their pocketbooks, their livelihoods, their dreams, the ability to succeed, to get their dreams accomplished. You know, it's great that millennials want to do good. Everybody wants to do good. But I saw, for example, a great Shark Tank the other day where Mark Cuban kind of laughed at these two younger entrepreneurs because all they wanted to do was give all their profits away. And he goes, okay, well, walk me through your business model. And they're like walking through the business model. He goes, wait a minute. So let me just stop you here because newsflash, you're not going to do anybody any good because you're losing money. Right.
Right.
Newsflash, you actually have to make money to give it away. And just helping them understand in some cases, believe it or not, some of these basic fundamentals, it's just so important. They're not teaching that in the high schools. They're not teaching it in the colleges. So, you know, we try to work with other groups that are on campus, for example, to try to teach some of the ideas, the basic principles of economics in some cases.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're seeing these polls where young people are becoming more and more enamored with socialism. I mean, that's frightening for anybody who's been on this planet for a few decades. I mean, that's really frightening.
Well, and Lee, you bring up actually an incredible point that we have to make is that I don't think that the youth actually understand what they're talking about when they say would they prefer socialism. I don't think they understand what that word really truly means. They think they equate socialism with doing social good. And those two are not one and the same, as you know. And we have to educate people on that. That is just not the case here. You know, you have this, for example, this big push right now the Democrats are saying about Medicare for all. Well, really, it's going to be Medicare for none. Because the system, they want, if they had it their way on this one, the system would literally collapse on itself. You know, and so it's working through these ideas and helping people understand that, you know, we all want people to do good and do good by others. I mean, I think we all believe in that golden rule. But, you know, from the perspective of these millennials, they have to understand that socialism is not doing social good necessarily. And that the impact that it can have by driving our country into a more socialist model, the ramifications, the negative ramifications of that are just are really not good.
Well, I think that organizations like yours and what we're trying to do here at Business Radio X by telling the stories of small to mid-sized businesses is part of it is to educate and inspire young people to understand that you can have a business that makes a profit and still do good. Those things aren't mutually exclusive. Like business is good and it can be good. It isn't
right.
A force for evil and greed and exploiting. That's
right.
A myth. That's
right.
That's not true. I mean, we interview thousands of people every year. Yeah. And these are the most generous, nicest people that are really trying to serve they're the lifeblood of their communities.
I mean, you take our founder, Bernie Marcus, as the number one example. You're based here in Georgia, so you understand that. Bernie Marcus has been probably one of the biggest benefactors that the state of Georgia has seen in its history. You look at the Georgia Aquarium, you look what it's done for the redevelopment of downtown, you look at the hospitals. I mean, you know, Bernie Marcus has given away 95% of his wealth to philanthropy, to do good to this country. None of that would have been possible all that good that he's done. None of that would have been possible if Home Depot hadn't succeeded.
Right. And then forget about him as an individual. How many hundreds of thousands of people have jobs in their community? How many millions of people have been touched by the fact that their relative had a job and helped support them and is serving their community all over the world, really? So
Exactly.
So for you guys, part of your work is kind of advocating for the taxes and anti-regulation, all that stuff. How are you serving the kind of helping get the word out for these small to mid-sized businesses to just kind of hold them up, to let them kind of be the role models that they are in their community? Are you doing anything in that regard?
Yes, that's a great question as well. So jobcreatorsnetwork.com, first of all, I encourage anybody who's listening to really go there, check out our website. We encourage people to please sign up because we're a small group of folks, truthfully. The heroes and the people that we really try to get out there and provide that megaphone for, it's the successful heroes that I call our small business owners across the country, the 30 million small business owners we've been talking about. That's what we try to do. We try to provide them a megaphone. We try, in many cases, these small businesses, they want to tell their story. On our current campaign, taxcutswork.com, we now have over 4,200 stories that are coming in from small business owners that want to talk about their stories. They want their stories to get out there because they're saying, this is working for us. It's working for our employees. It's working for our community. It's working for our economy. They want to get the word out. So that's what we try to do. We try to do help them, whether it's writing what's called an opinion editorial, maybe it's a local radio show hit. You know, so for example, your show, we try to make you aware that we have a bank of folks that are interested in talking about the success that they're seeing. We try to get them on TV, wherever possible that folks are willing to listen to some of these success stories. We try to get it out there. We also try to create the environment, for example, like the tours that we're doing right now. We have 52 stops across 26 different states, two different tour buses. In fact, we're going to be swinging through Georgia. We're going to build that out of the request of several folks on the local state political groups and also on the national level. They really love our tax cut tour bus. And so we're probably going to build that out a little bit more. But again, we go across the country and we invite these small business owners to really be the heroes of these stops and really just talk about the success that they're hearing. We obviously, we invite the representatives, locally, whether it's at the local or state and national levels, to come also listen to these great success stories. And in many of these cases, if they're House reps, they can talk about why they voted for the tax cut and why they're proud of it. And why they continue to support their vote.
So now, so part of your mission is to get more people to join the cause, right?
Yes, it absolutely is. I mean, I think, part of what I saw was a few years ago, I don't think anybody, a lot of small business owners just didn't think that there was a group, that there was a way that they could actually get their stories out there. And nobody was really listening. There was no way of really doing that, no practical way. Because as you know, Lee, one of the things that small business owners all have in common, they are all working their businesses 24/7, right?
Right.
So the last thing they really have time to do in many cases is go try to find something, right, that allows them to get their story out. So we really try to come to them, whether it's through social media or these local, stops that we're doing across the country. So we encourage people to sign up, whether it's at jobcreatorsnetwork.com or to tell us, the great stories about how they're really leveraging the tax cut at taxcutswork.com. But we really want and encourage everybody and anybody who's a small business owner and really friends of small businesses to please sign up and really look at what we're saying and help spread that word, because we really need to help spread that word.
And spread the word is important because a small business owner, it cuts across all political parties. It cuts across all genders and races and nationalities. There's business owners are everybody. Do you have any stats that say how many women or how many minorities are small business owners?
Well, that's the most amazing thing. I mean, the small business, and if we take, for example, franchises, which is one of the best ways that minorities, for example, and women have gotten, part of this American dream and, the American pie of owning a small business, is really through, let's say, a franchise system. So that's been one of the great ways that a lot of these small business owners have gotten into owning their own business. But what we're seeing is exactly that. I mean, minorities, for example, whether it's Black, women, Asian, they're the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs out there right now. Women, in fact, are the number one group in terms of size and also growth. And so it's a fantastic way to really, from a small business standpoint, people have these dreams now. They're following their dreams. They're getting more of their money back being allowed to keep more of the money that they worked so hard for. And they're investing right back into their businesses. And so, again, we're seeing really across every single demographic group, especially amongst minorities and women, optimism is very high and growth is very high on a small business perspective.
And I think that you'll agree that the people that choose the path of being a job creator, an entrepreneur, or a business owner, those people aren't worried about a minimum wage, right? It's better to have a career than it is to have a minimum wage.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing, and we're seeing. I mean, I'm actually a trained economist. If you go back into my education history, so I have an economics degree, and I always believe that when you have a thriving economy, wages take care of themselves. Mandated wages are never going to work. Mandated wages just do not work. We have a thriving, booming economy. That's what works. And you're seeing right now, I mean, there is so much demand for the available labor out there. These, $8, $10, $12 pushes, I mean, those are history now. People are offering $15, $16 an hour to get wages, to get skilled labor. But again, I go back to what we really need to do in this country is not talk about a wage gap issue, but a skills gap issue. That, from my perspective and in my humble opinion, is truly the biggest issue we have right now that we have to figure out how to solve for.
So what can we do to help? What do you need more of?
We need more people to sign up. So obviously, if you could help us as you are right now, get the word out, jobcreatorsnetwork.com. We'd love for people to join, participate. We've got a lot of active members that just want to say, hey, sign me up, hands are up, say, what can I do? Because they believe in the mission, they believe in the cause. It really has become this, and again, I'm so proud of what the team has done over the past 5-6 years. It is truly a movement that's allowing our small business owners across the country to really finally have a voice. And that voice is really now being heard. It's Lee, you probably have seen over the past 2 years how much now more, how much the discussion of small businesses is in the news. It was non-existent really before we really started these tours and this push. And now it's being discussed a lot. We still want that to be, 2x of what it's currently being discussed because it's that important.
Well, once again, that's jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Alfredo Ortiz, the president. Thank you so much for sharing your story here on the Business Radio X Network. And we're here to help as well. You can lean on us if you have businesses that want to tell their story. We are a safe place for them to tell their story and help them get the word out about the good work they're doing to serve their community. And we're here to help.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Lee, for the time. I appreciate it. And have yourself a great day.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.